Welcome to Today on Broadway for Wednesday, September 7th, 2016. I'm Broadway World's Matt Tamanini.
And I am Broadway Star's James Marino.
James, before we get started, I wanted to wish a hearty welcome back to two of our most dedicated listeners and Twitter followers and fans. I'm talking, of course, about Queen Leslie Margarita and Mandy the Beast Gonzalez as they returned to Broadway last night, each of them. Leslie back in familiar territory as Mrs. Wormwood in Matilda, and Mandy taking over for Renee Elise Goldsberry as Angelica Schuyler in Hamilton. I'm shocked that they had time to stop tweeting us to go do their shows last night, but I'm a huge fan of both of them, so congratulations. Broadway's better with them back on the boards.
Absolutely. That's awesome. All right. First up, Jersey Boys announces a January closing with one last Frankie.
Yeah, it's just too good to be true, as last night Broadway's Jersey Boys officially announced its closing after an 11-year run on the Great White Way. The beloved jukebox musical will play its final performance on Sunday, January 15th, after 4,642 shows at the August Wilson Theater. However, every cloud has a silver lining, especially if you're a fan of televised ballroom dancing, as last night we also learned that Dancing with the Stars pro Mark Ballas would be the final actor to play Frankie Valli on Broadway after he makes his Broadway debut in the role on Tuesday, October 18th. He will succeed Dominique Scaglione Jr., who will ramp up his latest run in the role on October 16th, and Mauricio Perez will continue as the Frankie Valli alternate through the end of the Broadway run. If you are unfamiliar with Ballas, he is an Emmy-nominated dancer and choreographer who has appeared in each of the last 18 seasons of ABC's Dancing with the Stars, winning twice with Olympians Christy Yamaguchi and Sean Johnson. He has previously appeared on stage in the UK in the Barry Manilow musical Copacabana, Maria de Buenos Aires, and Buddy the Buddy Holly Story. He also released an album with his longtime friend Derek Huff as the appropriately named band Ballas Huff Band. So there you go. James, we have talked about the grosses for this show looking kind of rough recently, but according to rumors that are already flying around, it sounds like there was a little more at play with this closing than just that.
Well, you know, it's a very, very, very attractive piece of real estate. And as you and I talked many times in the last couple of weeks, there is a traffic jam in Times Square, and it has nothing to do with cars. you know, Jersey Boys is playing, I'm looking at the last handful of grosses, all in the 40s, 47, 45, 48, 45, 46, 42, 47% of their gross potential. And certainly the Jujamson organization can get more for their money there. So we're looking at a bunch of different scenarios. One of the scenarios I was bouncing around in my head was that possibly something rotten would move from the St. James into the August Wilson, because they're both Jujamson houses. But then I looked at the rotten grosses, and it doesn't look like it's ripe for a move. So maybe that one is out the window. But we've been talking about a large number of shows ready to go out in London that are, you know, ready to go, that we talked about Groundhog Day, maybe Harry Potter, a few different things here and there. So, and the August Wilson with 1,200 plus seats and coming off a successful musical run there. We talked about before we started recording that it's has a history of both musicals and plays in that theater. So let's see what's going to happen. I suspect we're going to hear something in the next 7 days to tell us
that quick.
What's going to come? I think so. I think in the next 7 days, because people are going to want to start locking things down, and we'll see something in there, March, April, something like that, just in time for that crazy awards season.
Yeah, well, it'll be fun. I mean, you know, you always hate to hear about shows, especially ones that are as beloved as this one is, closing. But it had such a great run, over 11 years. It really is a testament to how much fun and honestly revolutionary that show is. Without the success and the well-crafted nature of Jersey Boys, we wouldn't have a lot of these other jukebox musicals that some people love and some people hate. But they've really changed Broadway in a way that I think is really positive, and it's had a lasting impact. So congratulations to everybody who's ever been a part of Jersey Boys. There's a lot of them out there over 11 years. So I'll be interested to see what happens, whether it's a little reshuffling of Jujamson chess pieces or if just something new plops straight right in there. There's a lot of producers probably wanting to get in there right away.
There's probably no truth to the rumor that the Bronx Tale guy scared him out of town.
Well, you've mentioned, having seen A Bronx Tale out of town, that they do have very similar storylines. So who knows? Maybe they had a little Jersey rumble and, we know who the winner was.
Well, maybe Kristen Chenoweth came and kicked their ass.
I would not want to cross Kristen Chenoweth. That's for sure. But she is coming back to Broadway, the reigning petite queen of the Great White Way. She's not coming back in a play or a musical, or not the Best Little Whorehouse revival that we've heard a lot about. But it is nice to know that Tony and Emmy winner Kristen Chenoweth will be back in a new Broadway concert called Kristen Chenoweth, My Love Letter to Broadway. It will feature music direction by the great Mary Mitchell Campbell and will play a limited engagement from just November 2nd through 13th at the recently vacant L'Enfantin Theater, and will be the second of three short runs to play that house before Charlie and the Chocolate Factory sets up shop next spring. Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons, the real ones, will return to Broadway from October 21st through the 29th. Then Cheno will have her week and a half before the Illusionists' Turn of the Century take over the house for the holidays. James, I know these micro runs aren't really new, but with these and the ones from Alton Brown and Lewis Black, and maybe I'm forgetting one more, does it seem like we're getting more theater owners trying to fill in some scheduling gaps than normal this season?
It really does. I thought that was just me. I'm so glad you brought that up, because it's great to have these little short runs here, especially on the heels of mega musical long runs such as Jersey Boys and Les Miserables and things like that. Also vacating recently. But I think this is very exciting, and I think that this is a good thing for everybody.
Yeah, the only thing that I'm disappointed about is that it's so short. I mean, I went and saw... I saw Hugh Jackman's show a few years ago. I saw the Mandy Patinkin and Patti LuPone show a couple years ago. And those had good, multi-month runs. And obviously, Kristen Chenoweth is going to be promoting a new album starting at the end of this month. So it makes sense for her to just do a short run. But she's beloved on Broadway and beyond Broadway. So it would have been nice to have a little longer run. But I guess we'll take what we can get from her.
You know, it's interesting. You have Idina Menzel doing a national concert tour right now. So Idina would be an interesting way to fill a couple of days on Broadway as well. And I think that they would sell a lot of tickets.
Well, ironically, completely unbeknownst to either of them, on the same day, Kristen Chenoweth and Idina Menzel are both going to be releasing individual solo albums. Apparently they didn't know that until they both announced them on the same day. I think it's going to be, let me make sure I get the date right, maybe the 29th of September, they both have solo albums coming out, which I thought was fairly interesting, because not only were they co-stars in Wicked, but they're not known to have the warmest of relationships. I don't think I would call them enemies, but frenemies is probably a safe thing. So I think it'd be kind of cool if Idina found another Broadway house to set up shop in for a week and a half in early November. I think that'd be fun.
All right. Well, we'll have to see. And if that does happen, we'll report it in the Broadway Grosses. But this week's Broadway Grosses came out for last week's sales. So tell us about that.
Yeah, the holiday week seems to have been a nice tonic for the Broadway box office last week, which had been on a slow but steady decline in recent weeks. As a whole, the 26 shows that ran through last week pulled in over $1.7 million more than they had the previous week, with only three shows, all Broadway behemoths, dropping week to week. Aladdin, Wicked, and The Lion King all saw declines, but they were the only ones to see declines. But they all made more than $1.4 million last week, with The Lion King coming in second overall at $1,867,689. Not bad when you're in the red. So unsurprisingly, Hamilton was the only show to top $2 million last week, with Les Mis in its closing week, The Book of Mormon, and School of Rock rounding out the million-dollar club. Inexplicably, Beautiful the Carole King musical was neither in the red nor in the black, perhaps in honor of Les Mis, as it reportedly pulled in the exact same $749,762 as it did the week before. Statistically, I find this incredibly hard to believe, so it simply could be a reporting error, but I kind of hope it's not. That's kind of cool if it was the exact same total from week to week. With just four performances, Roundabout's new musical Holiday Inn looked pretty weak, bringing in just over $165,000 in its first four performances. Hopefully, those numbers go up as it gets further into its preview period over at Studio 54. The week's biggest bump went to Paramore at over $750,000 after having played five shows the week before and just seven last week. You'll remember that the show took four performances off for creative tinkering, whatever that means. I'm sure it'll be more than enough to make James give a rave when he goes back to see it. James, not a bad week at the box office, but not a great one either, especially as we know that three shows, Les Mis and Act of God and Curious Incident, all saw fairly decent increases as a result of their closing. But, you know, it's going to start getting slow here over the next few months, even with some new shows opening. So hopefully this week buoyed some shows for a little bit until we can get through these slower periods until the holiday season kicks up.
I didn't see any of the websites out there that are reporting on the grosses. I didn't read any of this week's articles about the grosses yet. Is anybody else pointing out the beautiful numbers are matching?
I have not seen it. As you know, I'm only aware of one Broadway website. Broadway, I'm not aware.
There is only one Broadway website.
Yes, as far as I know. But no, I just looked at the grosses right before we started and kind of wrote this out, so I haven't had a chance to look at anyone else. But I would be shocked if that wasn't some sort of reporting error, because this the statistical improbability of that happening.
That's a huge red flag for anybody doing financial accounting.
It probably just got cut and pasted. Cut and pasted in the wrong one. But I thought it was worth pointing out. Who knows? It could be,
Crazy. Other than that, we should play those numbers,
Yeah.
We play those numbers from Lost. Did the Lost numbers ever win?
Well, yes, they have. They have won, but they are statistically no more likely to win than any other numbers. But it's 4, 8, 15, 16, 23, and 42, just in case you're counting at home.
Okay, we have to do that in every 43 minutes or something like that.
Yes,
now.
Exactly.
All right, what's up in the show and casting news?
Well, we got some fun stuff yesterday about a few Broadway shows, a few off-Broadway shows, and a few readings that may eventually turn into Broadway or off-Broadway shows. James, I'm going to go through these fairly quickly, but if anything jumps out at you, feel free to jump in and let me know and we can discuss it. First, we learned that the Scott Rudin production of Tennessee Williams' The Glass Menagerie would now be a co-production with Lincoln Center Theater, and that it would play Broadway's Golden Theater, and that the show's important dates had slightly shifted. The Sally Field and Joe Mantello-led production would now begin previews on February 7th of 2017 with a March 9th opening instead of the previously announced February 14th and March 23rd. The revival will be directed by Tony Winner's Sam Gold, and in addition to Field and Mantello, will feature Finn Wittrock and Madison Ferris, who will be making her Broadway debut. Yesterday, the Roundabout Theater Company announced that they would be presenting the Broadway premiere of Scott McPherson's play Marvin's Room next summer at their American Airlines Theater. Obie winner Ann Kaufman will make her Broadway directorial debut with the show, which will begin performances on June 8th of next year with a scheduled run through August 27th. The 1991 off-Broadway play was adapted for the big screen in 1996 and featured a no-name cast of Meryl Streep, Leonardo DiCaprio, Diane Keaton, Robert De Niro, Hume Cronin, Gwen Verdon, Cynthia Nixon, Margot Martindale, Kelly Ripa, Olga Moretz, and more, with multi-Tony winner Jerry Zaks directing. No other casting or design team announcements were made for the Roundabout production, but with a screen cast like that, I would imagine we will get at least a few names for this oddly timed summer play run next year. Over at the Manhattan Theater Club, Lynn Meadow and Barry Grove announced the full casting for the New York premiere of Kwai Nguyen's new play Viet Gone. The show will feature John Hawke, Jennifer Ikeda, Raymond Lee, Samantha Kwan, and Paco Tolson. The show will be directed by May Adrales and will begin performances at New York City Center on October 4th ahead of an October 25th opening. In some fun news, Emmy-nominated star of stage and screen Titus Burgess has apparently retained the rights to the 1996 Academy Award-nominated film The Preacher's Wife. The movie starred Denzel Washington, Whitney Houston, Courtney B. Vance, Gregory Hines, Jennifer Lewis, and Loretta Devine. In it, Denzel plays an angel sent to help Vance regain control of his church and his personal life. Well, next Monday, Burgess will hold an industry presentation of a new musical based on the film, for which he has written the music and lyrics. Daniel Betty has written the book, and Olivier nominee Stafford Arima will direct, with Divine reprising her role as the sassy secretary Beverly. This should be a lot of fun. I love that movie, so it'll be fun to see how this one eventually develops. Speaking of shows in the developmental process, on Friday and Saturday of this week, TV stars Alison Brie, Lizzie Kaplan, and Bellamy Young will be amongst the actors participating in an invitational reading of Elizabeth Higgins Clark's new play, Fractured. The show revolves around the Graham family that includes a special needs son named Michael. The story follows along what happens to the family as all of the other kids with Michael's condition start to get better, but he doesn't. If you are in LA this weekend, you can inquire about seats to the event by emailing fracturedtheplay@gmail.com. James, I love Bellamy Young, so if I was on the other side of the continent this weekend, I would so be there. I love me some Melly Grant, so I'm kind of sorry I'm not going to be there, but who knows? Maybe she'll come back to Broadway. She was in the original Broadway cast of The Life, so it'd be nice to have her doing this show on Broadway at some point. Another story that kind of blends Hollywood and theater. I just saw this before we started recording, so I just threw this in. But it looks like Mel Brooks told a screening of his classic film Blazing Saddles over the weekend that Susan Stroman would be directing a trimmed-down version of his stage adaptation of Young Frankenstein next year. The comedy legend said, "We're going to do a streamlined version. It's going to be in a theater in the West End in London about a year from now, and then if it really works and people really love it, I'll take it back to New York in a nice little theater. We won't do an overblown production like we did originally." James, I don't think we've ever talked about this show. I'm seeing a production of it for the first time later this fall. But what were your thoughts of Young Frankenstein when it was on Broadway a few years ago?
You know, I think that it was overproduced, and so I think it's a really good idea to do it in this way. I'm really interested to see what they do with this, because I think it can be a huge hit.
Yeah, I mean, I think Mel Brooks even expected it to be better than the producers, which it clearly wasn't. But that's interesting. It had such a great cast and such a great, I love the original film, so. Yeah, hopefully it'll be find a new life, whether it's in London or New York or both.
Absolutely. So Mike Daisy's The Trump Card is now available for download. We talked about this a few weeks ago, not years ago, when he first announced it.
Yeah, it feels like a few years ago. That's how long the summer has been. But yeah, we talked about it before, but I did want to, since we had talked about it, let everyone know that yesterday Mike Daisy had officially made the materials for his new show, The Trump Card, available for free on his website. Not only can you get the script, you can get promotional images and a soundtrack to play along with the show. We will have a link to download all the materials in the show notes at broadwayradio.com, just in case you want to put on a production before November 8th. I don't know why that date jumps out at me. Maybe just get a production done before November 8th and bring anybody who disagrees with you politically to the show and hopefully influence them to do something that they might not have otherwise done on November 8th.
All right. Michael Riedel reports on a new Donna Summer musical, which is a bio, which is in the works.
Yeah, James, we've heard about this show for a while, and I think we might have even talked about it at one point. I'm getting this one and the Cher one confused, so I'm not exactly sure which one we've talked about. But last night, the man, the myth, the legend, Michael Riedel, reported in the New York Post that Des McAnuff helmed a workshop of the Donna Summer Project last week to pretty strong reviews. Along with choreographer Sergio Trujillo, the show features three actresses playing Summer at different points in her life, as reportedly the Cher musical will as well. And that included Ariana DeBose, late of Hamilton and soon to be starring in A Bronx Tale, as Summer at the height of her fame. According to Riedel's spies, DeBose was terrific in the role. But the interesting thing about this production, and something that apparently Riedel's sources aren't exactly sold on, is that a number of the male roles, people that are the closest to Summer in her life, are actually played by women. There really wasn't a whole lot of explanation for why they did that, but presumably it's a comment on the large number of cross-dressers who perform as Summer in various clubs around the world, which is an interesting choice. You know, Des McAnuff is somewhat of a visionary guy, so it'll be interesting to see how he pulls that off. Riedel's sources do say that the staging is McAnuff at the height of his powers, but that the script does need to be a little rougher and maybe include a little more drama. Summer did have quite an interesting life, and there's plenty of stuff to mine, but it's a pretty straightforward, you know, no punches version as it stands right now. James, heaven knows that with Jersey Boys closing, we need some bad girls and some new hot stuff on Broadway and on the radio for that matter. So after you dim the lights in honor of one jukebox musical, there can be no more tears from you. And I want you to tell your wife that you know she works hard for her money and that you're going to treat her to some cake over at MacArthur Park before you have one last dance and you sweetly whisper, "I love to love you, baby." Sound good?
I see what you did there.
I would hope so. You've got the script and all those things are in quotes, so you know they're song titles. But
oh, is that what that means?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sure.
Okay. All right. Well, MacArthur's Park is melting.
That's it. That's right. You can finish.
Matt, you left the cake out in the rain, so why don't you get us out of here?
All right. Thanks for listening to Today on Broadway. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Broadway Radio. You can find me on Twitter at BWWMatt and subscribe to Some Like It Pop on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. Man, we are all kinds of crazy after 3-day weekends.
And my name is James Marino at BroadwayRadio.com and BroadwayStars.com. Thank you so much for taking a listen to us today, and we will be back and talk with you tomorrow.